This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
دروس من المسجد النبوي الشريف.
In English.
In English.
In English.
The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام says, "أمرت أن أقاتل." I have been commanded to fight. Who? Who has the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام been commanded to fight? The people. The people. The scholars all across the board, whether scholars of hadith, fiqh, and otherwise, have said that though this hadith is general in terms of its wording, it refers to something specific. It does not mean that the Muslims have been commanded to fight every single human being that does not testify to La ilaha illallah and establish the prayer and pay the zakat. There's no scholar who has preceded this time who has ever said that. None whatsoever. However, they have differed as to who exactly is the Prophet ﷺ referring to in this hadith when he says, "An-nas, the people, I've been commanded to fight the people." And so if we look at it, then we see that non-Muslims are broken down into four categories. Who knows those categories? Because we should understand this point. Huh? Anybody? Tell you one category of the non-Muslims. Ahlul Kitab? Tell you. Ahlul Kitab, but they can fall under these categories as well.
Al-Dhimma.
Okay. So we have first we have Al-Harbi. The Harbi, or the warrior, if you will, is the one who is actively engaged in fighting the Muslims. Alright? This person is known as Al-Kafir Al-Harbi. Yani, a disbeliever who was at war with the Muslims. The second type is a Dhimmi. A Dhimmi. And a Dhimmi is a non-Muslim who lives under the rule of the Muslims. Yani, he lives in the Muslim lands. And he pays a tax known as the jizya, which is used for his protection, because the dhimmi obviously is not enlisted in the Muslim armies, but he is protected, and for the services that are provided to the citizens of the Muslim lands. I mean, today, for example, whether that is police and firefighters and all of these type of things, postal service, and so all of the services that are provided, the dhimmis also get that, but they have to pay this tax, okay? So they live amongst the Muslims. Did the Dhimmis live amongst the Muslims in Muslim Spain? Were the Muslims just actively going out killing them until they took Shahada? Absolutely not. Nobody from the Muslims understood, even at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. There were non-Muslims that lived amongst the Muslims. And nobody was actively engaged in fighting them and killing them and these type of things. No one understood that hadith like that. And this is why those people who call for a reinterpretation of Islam, mostly these are modernists, the people who are not Muslim in the first place, and they call for a reinterpretation of the sacred texts, they don't even realize the door that they're opening, because how then do we make something or determine its validity? So someone comes and they reinterpret the text to mean this, and then we have another group of extremists who reinterpret the text to mean that. Who determines whether it's valid or not? The only way that we know that it's valid is to look at these texts and see how the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam interpreted them, and we take that interpretation. I'll tell you. So here we have dhimmi. Then we have what is known as al-mu'ahad, the one who has a covenant or a pact with the Muslims. The mu'ahad does not live with the Muslims. He doesn't live in the Muslim lands. He lives in his own land. Or they are a group of people who live in a land that they control, but there's a pact between them and the Muslims. And the Prophet ﷺ had a pact, for example, with the pagans of Quraysh that was made at the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man qatala mu'ahadan lam yarah ra'ihat al-jannah." Whoever kills a mu'ahad, someone whom we have a pact with. These are people who did not say La ilaha illallah. They did not say Muhammad Rasulullah. They did not establish Salat. They did not pay zakat. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever kills one of them, then he will not smell the fragrance of Jannah. وَإِنَّ رِيحَهَا يُوجَدْ مِنْ مَسِيرَةِ أَرْبَعِينَ عَامًا. Even though you can smell its scent from a distance of 40 years. SubhanAllah. So this is without a doubt from the kaba'ir, from the major sins in Islam, that a person would kill a mu'ahid. The fourth type of non-believer, and the last type is? Al-musta'min. Yani the one who has requested safe passage through the land of the Muslims. So for example, today, people get visas. When you go and you get a visa from the embassy, then this person is musta'min. He enters the land of the Muslims with amin. Yani he is safe and secure. And no one is to subject him to any harm, so long as he does not break his contract with the Muslims. So we have four types. Who can bring them back? Go ahead. Yeah, Omar. Al-Harbi. Uh-huh. Dhimmi. Musta'min. Aywa. And a mu'ahad type. The last three types of kuffar do not enter into this hadith. According to what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said in his Majmu'ah Fatawa in volume 19, page 20, Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah said, the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, umirtu an uqatil an-nas, to the end of the hadith, مراده صلى الله عليه وسلم قتال المحاربين الذين أذن الله في قتالهم لم يرد قتال المعاهدين الذين أمر الله بوفاء أهدهم. He says that this hadith with the Prophet ﷺ said, I've been commanded to fight the people, to the end of the hadith, it refers to fighting those who are waging war with the Muslims, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted be fought. It does not refer to those with whom we have a covenant, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to fulfill our pact and our covenant with them.